Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Amen. To God be all the glory. This is God's day that He has made, and we are absolutely rejoicing and glad in it. I pray you had a blessed day. I pray that your day was prosperous. I pray, amen, it went well in the name of Jesus, that you had a productive time as God allowed you another day in the land of the living. And we thank God as we go into the Word of God tonight that He will minister to us through the Spirit so that we can do all we need to do in and for Him during our time. Let us pray as we go into the Word tonight. We thank God for you, and we give God praise for those that will call in and tune in, even those that will listen to the recording, in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, hallelujah, that your word, you declared it will not come back void. It will not come back empty. It will not come back unproductive. Yes. But God, we thank you for the word, which is rich and add no sorrow to our lives. You sent your word that we might be healed and saved from our destruction. So we thank you as it comes down like the snow and the rain, give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We thank you for the word that will be declared tonight over our lives, that it will produce. It will, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, be productive and multiply and increase in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God said, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, God. I get excited about the word of God. I love God's word. And tonight we're talking from this topic or this thought, power in the word.
Hey.
Pastor kind of chuckled because that's her email address, power in the word. Power in the word one is actually it, but power in the word, God put that in her spirit, in my spirit, a long time ago when we began to recognize there's power in the word of God.
Yeah.
And people were getting all kind of email addresses and coming up with all kind of slogans, but that's ours, powerintheword1@yahoo.com. To God be the glory. But that's what I'm talking about tonight, power in the word. We're going to look at some scriptures that define, and we're going to see that there is power in the word of God. And because there is power in the word of God, I love what Pastor Jamal said last night. He said, I'm walking in humility, but I have passion for the word of God. And because there is power in the word of God, we should be passionate and excited and have zeal and have enthusiasm about the word of God.
Amen.
So I know those of you that come on Wednesday night, those of you that press your way and fit Bible study into your schedule, those that see the importance and the value of learning God's word and getting deeper into the word of God, you already recognize there's power in God's word. So as we study the Bible, as we look at the scriptures, as we believe that God from his logos word would give us revelation, amen, through the rhema word, that God will get the glory. And with that said, I want a foundational scripture. And God led me here to Proverbs chapter number 13. And then we're going to look at the life of Abraham, who believed God. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or counted to him as righteousness. And we're going to look at some things that Abraham did to get the promise of God over his life. Because we got to protect the prophetic word over our lives, and we got to protect the promises of God's word over our lives. Because his word, as what I started at the outset, his word will come to pass. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 9 is where we're going to start. And it's so much great wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And you'll find sometimes I'll go there on Wednesday night on purpose because I just want us to know that God has already put it in his word how you and I can become smarter, we can become wiser, we can become more intelligent, just simply reading the Proverbs and simply understanding the Psalms, hallelujah,
yeah,
that we can, amen, get more smarter and wiser through Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs. But these are instructions of wisdom and righteousness. And listen to what he says in verse number 9 to verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 13, starting at verse number 9. The light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride come contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Verse 11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall increase. These last two is what I want to focus on tonight. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I'm going to say that again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Help us, God. And our topic tonight is power in the word, verse number 13. Whoso despise the word shall be destroyed, but he that fear the commandment shall be rewarded. Let me go through these real fast because I want to get to our main scripture over in Abraham, over in Romans. But verse number 9, I just want to share some thoughts on these verses. The light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Let your light so shine before God that they will glorify your Father in heaven. As you continue to live your Christian life, as you continue to believe by faith and not by sight, walking in the Spirit, allowing God to produce fruit in your life, the Bible says that your light, what people see on you and in you, will never go out. It says, but the lamp of those doing evil, those doing wrong, those that have the wrong things and wrong motives in their heart, it says their light will be put out. And then it says pride is what creates contention or arguments or strife or confusion. When people are prideful, don't want to receive, don't want to be told anything, it said then there's confrontation. But it says when people are advised and open to wisdom, open to understanding, open to counsel, it said wisdom comes. It says when we get wealth and when we get money, when we get success the wrong way, it's going to leave us. It says, but when we work hard, it says the labor, when you work hard and you labor and you work hard for your wealth, you work hard for your success, you work hard to be on top, you work hard to sustain and to maintain your business or your career or what you want to do, it said increase will come to you. Multiplication will be like a magnet for you. God will always add to your life. When you give God your best, he will do the rest.
Amen.
And this one, that's why I want to look at the life of Abraham. We're going to go over there real quickly. But it says the heart, hope deferred. In other words, hope that's put off. I'm not going to hope right now. I'm not going to believe right now. I'm not going to think about that right now. It says, no, you need to address certain things. And if nothing else, keep your hope alive.
Amen.
Don't put off hoping for something. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Your faith may not even be strong enough for it. Maybe you don't have the belief level for it. Maybe you don't have the level of faith that you want to have, believing God for that particular thing, whether it's a spouse, whether it is a house, your business, whether it is a family, wealth and riches, healing in your body. He says start at that level of hope. Don't put that off. It'll grow into faith because he says when desire comes, then a tree of life springs up. Are y'all hearing God tonight? He says when you have a certain desires and dreams and aspirations and goals and certain wants in your heart, because you know what you want out of life. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. You know what you want to go after. You know what you want to accumulate. You know what you want to achieve and accomplish in your life. And he's saying, the proverb writer is saying, don't live in denial, acting like you don't want these things. Don't put off hope, but allow your hope to be stirred up. And finally, it says, those that despise or those that reject the word of God, he said, they come into destruction. But those of us that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we want the word. It says we will be rewarded. Amen. I said all that to get to this. Romans chapter number 4. Our father, Abraham, the father of all. Amen. Abraham, the father of all. If you go back and read Genesis chapter number 12, this is where Paul is writing to his Jewish brothers and sisters, trying to convince them that Jesus is the way, trying to convince them about the message of grace. He's writing, if you read the entire book of Romans, it's mainly an epistle to those Jews, but it's to the Gentile as well. But there's so much wisdom in here, and Paul is relating to them right where they are, speaking of Abraham's faith in God. And it says in verse number 18, I wish I could go back, but we're not going to go back. Yeah, let's go back to 16, verse 16. Romans 4, verse number 16. Again, our topic, our subject tonight is power in the word. Abraham believed God, and he was a friend of God. We know the end of the story. He had the miracle baby Isaac, but some things had to happen before the miracle happened. Who are God talking to right there? Some of you are believing God for a miracle. You're believing God for a breakthrough. You're believing God for a change. And sometimes it's about patience. It's about waiting, and it's about long suffering. It's about kairos and due season, the appointed time, all that's in there. And I know we're living in a fast-paced world. I know the world is trying to move at the speed of light. I know we want it yesterday, but God's ways are not our ways. Amen? God's thoughts are not our thoughts. I want our church to be a certain place today. I want my finances and my success to be a certain place today. I want things to happen that are still on the back burner, but I'm not going to give up hope in it. Amen.
Amen.
Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace. I'm talking a little bit about that on Sunday. Everything we do is through faith by grace. Even salvation came that way to us. Oh, my God. I am not going to get off subject tonight. But by faith through grace, Paul wrote that term so much in his letters that everything is by faith and everything is through grace. And he goes on to say, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law. He's talking to Jews now. But to that also which is of faith of Abraham, that's you and I, the Gentile, who is the father of all of us. Abraham was the father of the Jew and the Gentile. And Paul is building his argument, he's building his debate about why we should put our faith in Jesus. Look at verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope? That's why I said the hope deferred makes the heart sick. Abraham and Sarah never got sick. They did. Yes, they messed up. Yes, they got impatient. But in the end, they win. Oh, my God. See, we win with the word. That was the original title I had, winning with the word of God. But then God changed it, power in the word. But I'm going to put that as a subtopic, winning with the word of God. That's how we win. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jesus won with the word as he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. The devil tempted him as he was hungry. 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. He was a hungered. And the devil's first temptation was, turn these stones into bread. because I know you're hungry. And Jesus came back right with the word, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where did Jesus get that from? Way back in Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of God's mouth. Y'all remember the man that came from heaven? Amen. We need natural food, but right now, that's for the bodies. But right now, our bodies, which are spiritual, well, we're spiritual beings housed in these things called bodies. Our bodies need natural food, but our spirits need spiritual food. And it says Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, verse number 18, according to that which was spoken, that's the word, so shall your seed be. So don't put off on your hope. Receive your hope today and allow God to turn that hope into strong faith. Look at verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, oh my God, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The Bible says Abraham was not weak in faith.
Amen.
Pastor Rebecca, when she started her message on Sunday, she said, we pour out. We're trying to parent. We're being wise. We're being husbands. We're going out and grinding. We're working our 9 to 5. Some of us have 2 and 3 jobs. We in ministry. We doing all this stuff. We're pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. And she said, and if you're not getting poured back into, chances are you're going to be low on energy. Chances are you're going to be low on anointing. Chances are your spirit is going to be a little low on strength. So we got to understand that when you come on Wednesday, when you come on Tuesday, when you come on Sunday, you are being poured into. That's our job as your spiritual leaders, to pour the spiritual fortification, the spiritual word, the spiritual things, nutritional things that you need for your spirit. Our job is to give you spiritual food. Amen. And that's why I'm talking tonight about power in the word, because Abraham, the Bible says, he was 100. Sarah was way past childbearing years. And it said he was not weak in faith. Come on, y'all. Oh, my God. That's why, I got some scriptures to back this up, which I wanted to go to. Romans, we're still in Romans. If you're in Romans 4, put a bookmark there, because we're coming back and we're going to look at verse 20 and 21. But put a bookmark there. And if you're still in Romans, go to chapter number 10. Not weak in faith, not weak in faith. And God asked me to ask you a question tonight. Are you weak in faith or are you strong in faith? Amen. Are you weak in faith or are you strong in faith? Because faith, I'm going to read it, cometh by hearing and hearing through the word of God. Here is what I was saying as far as by faith through grace. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. And we're going to look at this as it said Abraham was not weak in faith. And I want to make the parallel right here in Romans chapter 10. To bring this point home. Again, he's writing to his brother. He calls them brethren. Salvation by faith and not by works is what he's talking about in chapter number 10. That this salvation that you and I have even today, we did nothing to earn it. Come on, somebody. We just simply believed. We believe. And now we have a mansion waiting for us up in glory. We have heaven waiting for us. We have eternal life waiting for us because we simply believe. Look at verse number 10, chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, meaning the Jewish brothers and sisters, is that they might be saved. Because they were still under the law. They were still believing in the law. They were still under rules and regulations that Moses gave them in the Ten Commandments and over 600 laws that they used to live by and rules and regulations. They still had that mindset. Verse number 2. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God. They were zealous for God, but not according to knowledge. Paul was saying to them, they didn't get the revelation that the Messiah has come. It was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that Jesus was come. His name would be Emmanuel, God being with us. And he came, Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. It said he was nothing. It said they looked upon him and they saw nothing that impressed them about Jesus. I wish I can go there, but I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. But if you read Isaiah chapter 53, it said many people rejected him based on what he looked like and based on where he came from. And they couldn't get past the natural to the supernatural. And Paul is saying, my Jewish brothers and sisters got zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse number 3, for they be ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believes. If you're on this line tonight and you are saved, you did what we're going to read next in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful, oh my God, are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elijah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Power in the word, people of God. How can they hear unless they have a preacher? How can they preach unless they be sent? How can this world believe except godly pastors and preachers in the earth realm? See, God saw this day way before we got to this day. He knew the world would need pastors. He knew the world would need preachers. In spite of the technology, in spite of we can Google, in spite of we can research it, in spite of all the endless knowledge that we have in our day through technology, through research, through study, through so much that man wisdom have created, God still knew that man needed a preacher. And he said, how beautiful are the preacher's feet. Oh, my God. Pastor Rebecca, you got beautiful feet. Hallelujah. Pastor Anthony, you have beautiful feet. Not in the natural, Well, they're kind of nice in the natural, too. Come on, somebody. But in the supernatural, Jesus said, when we go to church, when we prepare a word, when we come to Bible study, when we come to prayer, our feet is walking toward the technology. Our feet is walking into the church. Our feet is walking toward the computer. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news of the gospel. Amen. I love this, the word of God. We have to know that there is power in the word of God. Hallelujah. I pray this is blessing you and helping you tonight, that you understand the significance of God's word. We're going to look at that in Mark chapter number 4, why you and I have to guard when his word is sown into our heart, when his word is preached into our ear gate. He said, guard your heart with all diligence in Proverbs chapter number 4, for out of it flows the issues of life. Go back to Romans 4, and then we are going to go quickly to Mark chapter 4. But if you're still in Romans, that's why I say leave a bookmark there. Go back to Romans chapter number 4 as we make our next point. First, we talked about hope. Point number one, hope deferred make the heart sick. We don't want to be sick in the natural. We don't want to be sick in our hearts. Then point number two, he was not weak in faith. And we just saw, regardless of his wife's condition, regardless of his age, Abraham believed that God could still give them a baby, a miracle baby named Isaac. Amen. And look at, we're going to go now to our next point. Verse number 20, Romans chapter number 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Unbelief, doubt, being double-minded. Where does that come from? This is my third point tonight. Doubt, unbelief, just doubting God, doubting yourself. This is why we got to come to church. This is why we got to come to Bible study. This is why we got to pray and read our own Bibles. He told Joshua, meditate on his word day and night, and then you'll have good success. In Psalm chapter number 1, he says, "You put your hand to the everything you put your hand to will prosper, but meditate on the word day and night." That means think on the word, imagine the word, reason with the word, concentrate with the word, study the word. And we're going to look at Mark chapter number 4. Because the Bible said he did not stagger at the promise. You ever see a drunk person staggering? They can't walk a straight line. They're staggering because they're drunk. It said Abraham was not all over the place. He did not stagger at the promise through unbelief. And sometimes people, they come to church, they don't come to church. They believe God, they don't believe God. They have faith, they don't have faith. They want God, they don't want God. And God is saying, no, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God says, when you lock your faith on me, when you focus your faith on me, stability will come in every area of your life. Your marriage will be more stable. Your business will be more stable. Your health will be more stable. Your parenting skills will be more stable. Your whatever you're doing will become more concrete. If you get this one thing right, that my faith is in God. We said that last week when we were talking about I forgot my topic from last week. But when we were talking about no more thinking small, now I know that was a subtopic. But we looked at people that God used mightily. And We're going to look at, matter of fact, go there now. Just go there now. Mark chapter number 4. This is what trips so many people up when people come to church or they say, I want to go to church or I'm coming to church. And they're in the moment and they have good intentions on coming to church on Sunday. People really, that's why God judged the heart. God judges your heart. Because if you want to go to church, God will make a way for you to get to church. If you want to tithe, if you want to bless God with your money, God will give you a way to bless God with your money and your resources. If you want to help God's kingdom become manifested in the earth realm and you're sincere, God will give you a way and make a way for that to happen. But if you kind of, you know, wishy-washy with it and, you know, I pray you become strong in faith, but those who are serious about God's kingdom, God will always be there to do what he needs to do to make you a vessel for his victory. Amen. He'll give you the job that you need. He'll give you another apartment if you need it. He'll give you another vehicle if you need it. He'll give you another church building if you need it. He'll give you more encouragement. He'll give you more power. He'll give you more excitement. He'll give you more joy. He'll give you more happiness. Because he knows a better you makes a better him. Amen. Meaning that you'll bring God glory into the earth realm. Look at Mark chapter number 4, starting at verse number 14. Why you have to take God's word seriously is right here. Because when you hear the preached word, trust me, there is a real devil out there that don't want the word to produce anything in your life. He wants you to stay stuck. He wants you to stay unsuccessful. He wants you to stay unproductive. He wants you to stay unhappy. He wants you to stay in that spirit of unforgiveness. That's the devil's agenda. He's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me read this scripture because there's so much more I want to get to tonight. Mark chapter 4, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard the word, Satan, the devil, comes immediately and take away the word, my God, that was sown in their hearts. When you bring a first-time visitor to the church, I think I said every year, every now and again I say it, keep inviting people to church. When they come on Easter, they come on Christmas, they come twice a year. Maybe next year they'll come 4 times. Maybe the year after that they'll come 8. God gives us 52 Sundays in a year. And, you know, when I was hospitalized, I wanted to be in church because I for one, love church. I'm sorry. I just do. I really do love church. I love it. Just like I used to love those clubs when I was what they called a partier, I now love God's church now that I am a Christian. And so many Christians, maybe I'm not preaching to the choir, because maybe you're a regular churchgoer. Maybe you're a person that goes to church on a regular basis, and thank God for that. But if this is convicting your heart in any way, and you're not a regular person that comes every Sunday or on a regular basis, allow God to open that door for you that no man can shut. Fall in love with church. Fall in love with God's word. Fall in love with the pastors. Fall in love with the vision that God has given them. Fall in love with the mandate of that local house. Fall in love with the mission. And we have a mission statement. We have a vision statement. We do have an objective. We still have an agenda when the church was birthed. And that's why we got to understand when a woman is carrying a baby, The baby is not produced 9 months later when the baby comes out of the womb. Amen, somebody. The baby is there when the woman conceived. Come on, people of God. When that man's sperm and that woman's egg got together in the right way and that fetus was conceived, that baby was there. It was developing. It was growing hands. It was growing legs. It was growing a heart. It was developing in that mother's womb. But guess what? Way before the baby came out of that womb, at conception, when the baby was conceived, that's when the baby was there. And we're going to look at a scripture that shows us when we believe, that's when things happen. But let me keep reading here, because I'm talking about power in the word. It says, the devil comes immediately to that new convert, that new believer, babies in Christ, those that have not matured in things of God. That's why you got to guard God's word. You got to do everything you can do to get to church and read God's word. Listen to preaching in your ear gate. Listen to Christian music and praise music in your house. Allow God's word, because the enemies, the devil, is coming trying to take that word. Look at verse number 16. And these are they likewise, he's explaining the parable that he gave them in the earlier part of the chapter. Now he's explaining the parable. Because he said, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand any of the parables. That's earlier in the chapter. Verse number 16. And these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. It's nothing like the word of God. Oh, my God. It said when they heard the word, they received it with gladness. Verse number 17 says, though, and have no root in themselves. That's why I was saying when you go to church, you get these roots. And so endure but for a time. But afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all see that in y'all Bibles? Immediately they are offended. It said because the word is going to do what it needs to do in your life. It said, for the sake of the word, affliction, trouble, and persecution and problems come into our lives. Because the enemy wants that to be a distraction so that this word won't produce fruit in your life. Oh, the devil is called the deceiver for a reason. Amen. He is a deceiver for a reason. He throws up smoke screens. That's why sometimes you get the call on Sunday or you get that call on Saturday night and you know in your heart that God said press. And the enemy tries to do something to oppose what God wants to do. Amen. I'm trying to explain to you how the Spirit operates. I'm trying my best to give you an analogy of when you're trying to become more spiritual, when you're trying to become more mature as a believer, when you're trying to grow as a Christian. The devil's going to do everything to oppose that. Even something like making you sleepy while you're trying to read the Word of God. You made up your mind to pray, and the devil would send a spirit of sleep upon you. Amen. Yes, he will, because he don't want you to understand the power of God's word. But that's why we have this lesson tonight. So when he comes, you'd be like, wait a minute, Pastor Anthony said that would happen. Pastor Anthony told me to look out for that, told me to get out of my own way. Because the devil is trying to oppose. Don't think I've arrived, because I have not arrived. He comes at me as a father, as a husband, as a man. I'm trying to pay mortgages, paying car notes, trying to be a father, trying to be a husband, trying to make money, trying to do ministry, trying to pastor, and he comes at me trying to create doubt, trying to point out to what's wrong in my life, trying to point out my failures, trying to point out what I'm doing wrong, how I made a mistake, how I put my foot in my mouth, what I did wrong, when I lost my temper at work. He comes with all of this nonsense, trying to reinforce that we're not perfect because he don't want us to believe in God's word. And sometimes, you know, I'm at work and somebody will cut me off or somebody would be rude. Somebody would do something to me disrespectfully or what I think is rude and dishonorable. And I still have this part of me that goes right to anger. Boom. And by the time I get back into my truck, by the time I get back in the spirit, by the time I get back to being this believer with all this faith, God says, what was that? Can I keep it real tonight? How'd you lose your cool like that when that guy cut you off? When that person didn't speak back to you and you spoke to them, why did that get you that upset? Amen, somebody. And we got to understand that when people try to push our trigger buttons, people try to work our nerves, people try to get under our skin, the Bible says when we walk in the spirit, we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or we would not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So when people try to get to you in the natural, God says, no, stay in the spirit, stay in the supernatural. Amen. We're going to keep reading verse number 17. God, you see I'm not rushing. Normally I like to rush and I'm racing through my words, but God said, no, take your time and go through Mark chapter 4. Take your time and go through Romans chapter 4. Take your time and explain why you believe there's power in the word and why the people listening tonight should believe why there's power in the word. So I may not get to all the scriptures that I want to get to tonight because God is telling me to slow down. And I'm that sensitive in the spirit that I know when he's speaking to me while I'm speaking to you. Amen. So I'm not going to rush tonight. We're going to look at verse number 17. Oh, and have no root. We just looked at that. Now look at verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, which also hear the word of God. They not heard the sermon. Pastor Rebecca preached, sit on us and fill us up again. Holy Spirit, sit on us. Holy Spirit, fill us up again. A great word. A word of instruction. We're asking God to rest, abide, and come upon us. And we're asking God when we're empty, when we're depleted, when we're feeling low on energy, God, fill us up again with your word in your spirit. A good word. And watch what happens when we hear a word like that, that we heard on Sunday at New Creation Church. It says, the cares of this world, verse number 19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things enters in. And it chokes the word. And then the word becomes unfruitful. Yes, we got to make money, but God is saying sometimes when we're overworked, when we're thinking too much about money, when we're thinking too much about responsibility, it says the cares of this world, yes, you got to use wisdom. Yes, you have to pay your mortgage and your car note. You have to feed your family and keep a roof over their head. Yes, you got to take care of business. But God says through faith, don't let the cares and responsibilities and your obligations of this world overrule your thoughts. It overwhelms you so much so that it chokes the word out of you and the word becomes unfruitful.
Amen.
That we go after wealth and riches and we got to work, we got to work, we got to work. We got to work 60 hours, we got to work 80 hours. And we're working, working, working. We got so much money and our spirit sometimes is low on energy. And God says, no, Yes, make your wealth, but balance it out with the word. Because it said the cares of this world will enter in. And then verse number 20 is where we want to live, where we want to be, is where we want to reside, and why there is power in the word. I'm getting happy. This is what we want in verse number 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. They hear the word. They receive the word. And they bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I decree and declare over your life that you're going to produce 30%. You're going to produce 60%. And some of y'all are going to produce 100%, 100-fold in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, say, Pastor Anthony, I receive it by faith. My life is going to be productive the rest of this year. From June 2019 until December 2019, I will be productive. I will be fruitful. I will multiply. I will increase. I will have abundance. I will have overflow. I will, glory be to God, see success. Because God's word fell on good ground. You are good ground. You are good soil. You are good dirt. You are good ground. Say, Pastor Anthony, tell the world, I'm a decree and declare over my own life. I am good ground. I am good soil. And as I preach to you, I'm preaching to me. This word is being sown into my heart, and it will produce a harvest. 30, 60, 100-fold. It said Abraham did not stagger with unbelief. And if you're still in Mark, go now to chapter number 9. I love this story right here. This father with a demon-possessed son. He had a spirit of unbelief. And let's see how Jesus dealt with it. Oh, time is trying to get away from me. But again, I'm not going to rush. We're still in Mark chapter number 9 now, because it said Abraham did not stagger with unbelief. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, they now saw Jesus, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? He asked the scribes, why are you questioning my disciples? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foams at the mouth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pins him away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered them, saying, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. Verse number 20, and I'm going to make a few points from what we just read. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on him? And he said, of a child, or since he was a child. I don't know who opened this door to this dumb and evil spirit to this young man, but it wasn't at birth. The father said since he was a child, he'd been possessed with this evil spirit. In the narrative of the story, there's a man with a son possessed with a demonic spirit. He brought his son to his disciples to cast out the spirit. The Bible says Jesus gets wind of the conversation that they could not cast out the spirit, and he rebuked them, and he said, "You faithless generation, how long do I have to suffer with you or put up with you?" And then he asked the father, "How long has it been since the boy been like this?" And he said, "Since he was a child." Verse number 22. "And oftentimes they cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And listen to the father. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, he said unto this father, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said, with tears in his eyes, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And that's where we, you know, I'm gonna make some points there, but I don't want to talk too loud because I want you to hear the sincerity about what I think about this verse. And sometimes when I find myself doubting or not believing God or wavering, I go to this particular chapter because Jesus reminds this father, as he's reminding you and I tonight, it's not about Jesus doing his part. And again, oh God, I'm going to talk about this on Sunday. But it's about us believing on what Jesus has already done. And he says that this father said, "If you can do anything," I guess Jesus chuckled inside. Jesus put it right back on his father. He said, "If you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe." And I need to tell you that tonight, if you're believing for your child, if you're believing for wealth and money, if you're believing for total restoration, if you're believing God for a revival, whether it's personal, whether it's corporate in your local church, if you're believing God for a spiritual turnaround or spiritual breakthrough, come on. If you're believing God for healing in your body, Jesus, in my Bible, it's in red ink. It's in red ink. He said all things. He didn't say some things. He said all things are possible for those of us who believe. That's why I had to slow it down and put it in first gear, because I need you to hear the heart of God as I'm hearing the heart of God. He's telling me, Anthony, all things are possible if you believe. And his father said, "Help my unbelief." And if you're in unbelief tonight, if you're in doubt tonight, if you're second guessing yourself or God, if you're being double-minded, pray for God to help you. Pray for God to remove that fear and that being afraid and that doubt out of your heart and out of your mind. Pray and ask God to come in and help you with your unbelief. Amen. We need God. We're human. Listen, we're human. And sometimes what we see, what we feel, what we're going through, if you're in a storm, if you're in a hardship, if you're in a hard place, if you got, you know, sickness in your body, sometimes we got all these things going on in our life that produces and that births that unbelief sometimes. So the fact that you're like not feeling so good about yourself because you have doubt or you have second guessing or you have unbelief in your heart, it doesn't make you a less Christian. It make you human. Amen. I told last time I preached, I told the people of God, God wants the real us. He don't want the fake and phony us that's putting on an image or pretending. No, no, God, listen. I learned so much from this world that I got to unlearn. And sometimes the things that I learned in the world is still overriding the things that I want to learn from God. That was me back in the day. That's why I was in the clubs and I was in church, because all the worldly ways that I thought still was overriding some of the ways I thought about God and his church. And the world way said, nah, you need to go dance tonight. You need to go have a drink tonight. You need to go party tonight. You need to go let down your head tonight. Those were the voices of the ways of the world that I learned, that I had to unlearn as I became a believer. That's why I kept going to church. And eventually the word of God began to override the ways of the world. Amen. And that's why I press and I try to encourage you to come to church. Come to Bible study. Read your word. Because the only way, just like a computer, we download word. Y'all know the technology, Bill Gates. Do you have Word on your computer? Guess what? You got to upload and download that into your computer. And our bodies and our spirits work something like a computer. You're downloading this Word into your computer. And now that it's downloaded, it's there for you to access it. Amen. So we're going to close out tonight. And I pray that you understand. I wanted to go to so many more scriptures tonight, but we're going to hopefully pick them up next week in the name of Jesus. But power in the word. God wants you to believe that there's power in the word of God. 66 books in the Bible. Over like 1,100 chapters or something like that in the word of God. Written by countless authors. But from Genesis to Revelation, it all fits together like a hand in glove. Because God is not a God of confusion. God and his word are synonymous. That's why if you read chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was what? The word. And now that you and I have this Bible, what's the acronym, Pastor? Okay, that's the acronym. The word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic B, instruction I, basic instruction before B, leaving L, earth. Basic instruction before leaving earth. That's our Bible. God and his word are the same. This word, he said, if you don't let this word, if my word abide or remain in you, I said that last week, stay connected, stay plugged in. I am the vine, you are the branches. If God's word stays in you and you stay in God, the Bible said, not Pastor Anthony, but the Bible said, your life will be so fruitful. Your life will be so productive, and your life will be so happy and joy-filled. Father, we thank you tonight, and we give you praise for the word tonight. We believe by faith that there is power in your word. Power to heal, power to deliver, power to set us free, and power to change us from the inside out. So, Lord, we thank you tonight that your word has been sown on good ground. And we believe by faith that it will produce 30, 60, 100 fold in due season. So help us not to be weary in well-doing, because we will reap a harvest if we faint not, if we don't give up, if we don't quit, if we don't go back, we will be successful. So I thank you for those listening tonight. Bless them, God. Bless their household. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for fathers as I close out tonight that you'll bless them this weekend. Those that will come to New Creation Church, bless the fathers. Bless all the moms on the line tonight also. But I thank you, God, as the highlight is on fathers this week and on Father's Day, that you would encourage men, that you would bless men, continue to build men. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Love you. Good night, everyone. Please, we see you at Sunday, 1482 Maple Avenue. There is a great word from the Lord. God has given me a good Father's Day message. Along with, it ain't just going to be for the men, but it's going to be for everybody. And I thank God for the word. And thank God for those that will bring somebody to church on Sunday. And I pray that you make your way to 1482 Maple Avenue, City of Hillside, this Sunday. We start at 12:30 and bring somebody to church with you. God bless you. Good night, everyone.